And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I am Rob West. Most of us view our income as God's primary way of providing for us, and then, almost as an afterthought, we consider giving. But what if Scripture teaches the opposite? Paul David Tripp is here to flip our theology of money upside down, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Paul David Tripp, is a pastor, author, and speaker who's written more than 30 books and videos on Christian living. His passion is connecting the transforming power of Christ to everyday life. He's a good friend of ours here at Faith 5. Paul, it's great to have you back on the program.
It's good to be with you.
Paul, you have a really insightful blog post at paultripp.com. It's titled, Is Our Theology of Money Upside Down? And boy, it really hits to the heart of what we do here at Faith 5, because our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure, which really aligns with this idea. I'd love for you to just explain this idea of the blog for us.
I mean, I can explain this idea in two words. When we think of money, we think God gave us money so we could live. He's actually given us money so we could give. And that flip will transform the way you think about money and use the money that God has given you.
You know, it's a game changer of an idea. And, you know, we start with this idea that God owns everything and we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities. Money is a good gift from God, and it's okay to enjoy and to provide, but you're proposing that's not the primary objective. Unpack that theology of money that you're articulating from God's word.
Well, the Bible is the world's greatest generosity story.
Yeah.
Literally, the display of God's generosity is spread across every part of Scripture, maybe captured by the 9 words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. We worship a generously, lavishly giving God. And money is his means of inviting us to join him in his generosity mission on earth. That's the theology of money. And it's rooted in the fact that God is the one who allocates money to us. My money is not just the result of my gifts and my hard work. Jeremiah 27 says, it is by my great power and my outstretched arm that I made the earth and the men and animals that are in it, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. So you start with the fact that God has allocated whatever funds I have, and he's done that for his purpose.
And so perhaps, Paul, then the different question we should ask is not how much should I give, but how much should I keep?
Well, that's exactly right, because that's the flip. If my primary purpose of my money is generosity, then rather than how much should I give to God, it's how little should I keep for myself so I can join God in this glorious mission of generosity.
Wow, that's powerful. So therefore, we live in the tension of this. And I think that's a good thing, because that involves wrestling with the Lord and really a posture of prayer and open-handedness. Isn't that right?
Well, it's rooted in trusting that God will fulfill his promise and he will provide. If you don't trust in God as a provider, you're going to take provision as your main job, and we're endless vats of need, and need will never end, and there'll be very little that's left over.
Incredible. Well, we're talking today with Paul David Tripp. He's the author of the book, Redeeming Money. Folks, if you haven't read it, you need to pick up a copy today. Redeeming Money, How God Reveals and Reorients Our Hearts. We're talking a theology of money today, and perhaps we need to flip our thinking about money upside down. We'll continue to unpack this just around the corner, including the practical implications for our money management when we embrace this big idea. I'm Rob West. He's Paul David Tripp, back with more Faith and Finance right after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Have you ever had this happen? You sit down to read the Bible. You read a verse and then another, and then suddenly you realize you've been thinking about something else entirely. Like the hymn says, we are prone to wander, and that even applies to our wandering minds. The church in ancient Thessalonica gives us an encouraging example. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul says, "And we also thank God continually because, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God." And likewise, every time we pick up the Bible, we are holding God's word. May He enable us to receive it with joy and gratitude. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord. And it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're joined today by our good friend, Paul David Tripp. He's a pastor, author, and speaker. If you haven't read a copy of Redeeming Money, How God Reveals and Reorients Our Hearts, pick it up today. It's a game changer. It's been really instrumental in my own development of a theology of money. And that's what we're talking about today. Here's the question. Is your theology of money upside down? And Paul, you challenged us before the break with this idea that the real idea for why God entrusts to us what He does is not so we can live on it. It's first so we can give. And I like to think we're most like God when we're giving, because as you point out, He's the ultimate giver, isn't He?
Yeah, it's again, the story of the Bible is just mind-blowing generosity of God on every page. And so money is God's means of welcoming us into this mission of generosity on earth.
Mm. So how do you counsel folks that approach you on how much is appropriate for their lifestyle? What counsel would you give on wrestling through that?
Well, we get into the issue of money management. And again, you have to start with biblical values. So is money management important? Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Is being a good steward of my money important? Absolutely it is. But not so I could have a better lifestyle or so I could have a bigger retirement, but so I am more able to be generous as God has called me to. When you're sloppy with money, then there's all kinds of waste. There's all kinds of needless expenditures. There's all kinds of emotional spending. And that gets in the way of your ability to be part of this generosity mission.
Mm. And Paul, as you pointed out before the break, it really starts with this idea of understanding where our money comes from. Because like the parable of the rich fool, you know, he said the words I and my like nine times in that short story, essentially taking credit for what he had received. And really that, you know, that's a misunderstanding of even the power to get wealth, which we know from Scripture comes from God, right?
Well, there's so much pride in acquisition.
Yeah.
That passage that I read in Jeremiah 27:5 in the last segment just decimates, because God says, I made it. It all belongs to me. And I give it to whomever I choose. Mm. So I have what I have because of divine choice.
Mm. Yeah.
And all the gifts, all the opportunities, all the experiences, they're all part of God's plan to give me what I have.
Mm. Paul, we like to say money issues are heart issues. Jesus, of course, said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we know our heart follows our money. And frankly, it's a privilege to be able to give to God's activity. I mean, he doesn't need us, but he allows us to participate, doesn't he?
Yes. And I want to comment on what you just said. Here's the way I think of it. Your wallet will only ever go where your heart has already gone.
Mm.
If you can keep that in your mind, my money will only ever go where my heart has already gone. And so change is not first a matter of budget. It's a matter of the allegiance, the loyalty, the love of my heart.
Mm. Yeah, and it really comes down to what is your ultimate treasure? You know, I mentioned the parable of the rich fool, and we see that profound idea right at the end of the story. After he's called a fool, we see it was because he was not rich toward God. What does that mean, Paul? What does it look like to live rich toward God?
It means I wake up every morning and I can't believe that I am a child of God, that God says to me, because I'm his child, he will give me everything I need for life and godliness.
Mm.
Bill Gates is rich, but he doesn't have everything.
Mm.
God says, I'll get everything I need for life and godliness. So I don't wake up feeling poor and needy and looking around me for satisfaction. I get my satisfaction vertically.
Yeah.
I'm not shopping for it horizontally. Mm. So much of the way we waste money is we're searching for ways to satisfy our hearts. Mm. And money will never satisfy your heart.
Yes. Yeah, we just have to look around and see plenty of people who have plenty of money that are unsatisfied. The late Tim Keller said money is the most common counterfeit God. He did every sin confessed in his office save one, and it's the sin of greed. You know, we can attempt to redeem greed in the name of the American dream if we're not careful, can't we?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's another counterfeit theology.
Mm. Paul, as we think about this topic and then how we're to live, what would you say to that young person, perhaps that newly married couple that's just starting out, how they can resist what I'll call affluenza, this natural gravitation toward our level of spending always rising to our level of income? What does that look like?
Well, if I could refer you to a passage, one of the passages that was transformational for me was Ephesians 4:28. It says, let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Now, you would think that Paul would say next, so he has enough to live on.
Yes.
But what he says is, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Put that verse on the mirror that you look at every morning.
Wow.
And remember that the labor of your hands isn't first for you. It's first for someone else.
Wow.
And just as God expended his lavish goodness to give to us, God says, expend your labor so that you have the wherewithal to give to others. Start there.
Yes. Paul, we've obviously got to make lifestyle decisions, and I want to finish here today. We've got just a minute left. What does it look like then to settle into an appropriate lifestyle that you believe is God-honoring and still reflects a proper theology of money that you've articulated?
Well, I think the two things we do is we set places that we are always going to give. That's first. We make those decisions first. And then we are always looking for needs that come up that we can give to. That means we have to have the wherewithal to do that.
Yes.
So we're not starting with our needs.
Boy, that is a big idea and a game changer when it comes to our money management. The idea that God would be your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and perhaps the primary reason for your wealth is so you can give. Paul, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's pastor, author, and speaker Paul David Tripp. You'll find a wealth of insightful content to help you connect the transforming power of Jesus to your daily life at paultripp.com. By the way, be sure to check out his book, Redeeming Money, How God Reveals and Reorients Our Hearts. Out of nowhere, after all of his books on Christian living and parenting and so many other topics, he came out with a money book, and wouldn't you know, it was incredible. It was something I just thoroughly enjoyed reading, and I know you will as well. All right, a quick break and then back with your questions. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. What a treat to have Paul David Tripp here today. All eyes on the markets this week. The market opened down, at least the Dow Jones did, 1,500 points. The S&P 500 down significantly as well, starting the day down about 3%. NASDAQ off a little more than that. We saw a massive reversal just in the last 20 minutes. The market went from down 1,200 points to up about 600 points. That was on news that President Trump was considering a 90-day pause for every country except China on the tariffs. That erased every bit of the downward move, and the market all of a sudden found itself up 600 points. The NASDAQ was up 2.5 points. Now, all of a sudden, though, we're hearing that that was unconfirmed. They're still trying to figure out where that came from, and officials in the White House are saying they're not aware of anything that the president, any decisions he's made, and perhaps that was just bad reporting. And now quickly, just as quick as we got that news, the Dow Jones is back down 500 points and falling. So we'll continue to monitor this. Obviously, I'm not sure what the source was. And the bottom line is still a lot of volatility in this market. You know, here's the big idea. And, you know, a lot of folks are just saying, first of all, what is a tariff? And basically, this is a tax on goods and services coming in and out of a country or coming into a particular country. You know, why wasn't this priced into the markets? Why have we seen this big sell-off last week and continuing today? Well, what was announced was well above what was expected. And so I think what you're seeing now and what we saw late last week was really about recession fears. Are we going to move from just pricing in these kind of modest tariffs that were truly reciprocal, and we were going to level the playing field and basically start negotiations? Or, as it was introduced, are we talking about something much higher than that because it accounts for not only the monetary tariffs, but some of the non-monetary tariffs that come through IP theft and imbalances and other issues as well? And could these be around for a while? You know, over the weekend, the president was talking a good bit about the revenue that the U.S. is going to be receiving through the tariffs. Could that be something that gives Congress the ability to do deeper tax cuts alongside lower oil and energy prices and falling mortgage rates? And could that be his end game? If so, it certainly raises the prospect for not only a domestic but a global recession, and that's what the market is reacting to. Or at the end of the day, is this really the president's book, The Art of the Deal, playing out in real time? I mean, is it we set these higher tariffs of factoring all these other things in through this complex formula, the market sold off, and really that's what he's using just to get people to the table so he can negotiate something that he considers to be a much more level playing field. Well, we heard over the weekend, 50 nations have reached out and are eager to begin negotiations. Even this morning, President Trump talked to the Japanese prime minister, and there is a confirmation coming out of the White House this morning that there is plans for a Japanese delegation to come to the U.S. to begin negotiations in earnest. Obviously, this is a very fluid situation. At the end of the day, is this about negotiation and a reset on global trade leading toward more fair trade? Is it something that's going to be with us for a while? We're looking for, or President Trump is looking for, the massive revenue uptick in the form of, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs that could result in the greater prospect of a global recession. The market doesn't like that. At the end of the day, there's a lot of uncertainty. That's why we're seeing the sell-off. Here's where I think we need to go with this, though, personally, because remember, you and I are responsible for what passes through our hands, our own little mini economies. And I think we need to start by just checking our hearts. And listen, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. Here's the question to ask. Does this latest market action and my response reveal something about misplaced trust in my life? Has it led to sleepless nights? Has it led to me watching the 24-hour news cycle? Am I making emotional moves in my long-term investment portfolio to try to react to the news of the day? That is a failing proposition every time. I mean, there has been study after study after study. If you try to get out of the market and time it, you will miss the entry point. You will end up far worse than having the right diversified portfolio that's appropriate for you and staying with it for the long haul. If history indicates, is any indication of what's going to happen in the future, this market will move to new highs. Now, will it take 6 months, a year, 2 years? I don't know, but nobody does. And that's why we invest for the long haul. That's why we have properly diversified portfolios. That's why we place our trust in the Lord and make sure that He is the object of our affection, as Paul David Tripp talked about today, and remember the imperishable inheritance that we have as citizens of heaven, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now, that doesn't mean we withdraw from the world or neglect our responsibilities, but we should see the world differently. We should live with that eternal perspective and recognize that our current troubles are temporary, but the things above, God's kingdom and His love, are eternal and unchanging. And I think that's where we need to fix our eyes and our hearts in these days. Doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand. We should be the sons of Issachar who understood the times, but we take the counsel of Scripture, we apply that to how we manage money, we dump debt, we live within our means, we have proper reserves, we give generously even during the uncertainty. What a testimony to the world. And we save and then we invest and we do it for the long haul, despite these ebbs and flows, no matter how dramatic they are, and no matter how much someone says this time is different, ultimately we know God is our provider. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. All right, let's dive into your phone calls. I know there's a lot of people holding, and so we will get to these as quick as we can. We're going to begin today in Arkansas. Hi, May. How can I help?
Well, you may have answered my question with what you had just said, but here's my dilemma. Most of my IRA that I have is in the S&P 500.
Okay.
I don't have that much, but the little bit that I do have, every bit of it is S&P 500. So should I sell out of that and put it in just regular stock?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Sure.
Yeah, it's down quite a bit. All right, let's do this. You hang right there. It's a great question. I'll give you my answer right after this break. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance here on AFR. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, we had that big sell-off at the market's open, continuing the big downward move from last week as the market adjusts to the new reality of the Trump tariff announcements that came last week. Then we saw a complete reversal from down 1,500 to up 600 on the Dow on news that there was potentially a 90-day pause coming on the tariffs, except for China. That put everybody into a tailspin as the White House was trying to figure out where that came from. Press Secretary has just come out and said that 90-day pause is fake news, that is not happening, that no one in the White House said that. The president is committed to seeing this through, and no change. And so now we've seen the markets turn back down since that confirmation, the Dow Jones. Now, certainly not down back at its lows, 1,500 points down, only 850, so down another 2% after the confirmation that there is no pause coming out of the White House. All right, back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to May. She's 77, works part-time, is drawing Social Security, has an IRA. And May, you said 100% of that IRA is in the S&P 500, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. And are you pulling anything out of that, you know, as to supplement your income?
Not right now, I'm not, no.
Okay, all right.
But when I retire, though, I will be.
And how far off is that?
I'm hoping another year and a half.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, you know, at 77, I mean, I would say your ideal mix of investments would be like 70-30, 70 in fixed income. So instead of the S&P 500, you might have a short-term bond index, which provides some good, stable fixed income. And as interest rates fall, and we thought they would have been falling by now, but all of this, uncertainty and some of the tumultuous nature of these tariffs, it's caused the Fed to kind of pause for the time being. But once rates start coming down, those bonds will do well. And that would leave only about 30% of your portfolio for stocks. That could be the S&P 500 or even, you know, another index. But with you being 100% in the S&P, that would obviously be more aggressive than I would have recommended. But here's where you are now. And so the question is, and I understand this is why you're calling, okay, where do I go from here? And what I would say is, you know, perhaps we go ahead and decide what your mix of investments is going to look like. You'll need to make that call. Let's say it's that 70-30 where you've got 100% in S&P right now, and eventually you want to be at 30%, which would mean you'd need to take, you know, 70% of that portfolio and move toward a bond allocation. And then the question would be, you know, when do you do that? I probably wouldn't do that this week, but I also wouldn't, wait and try to, quote, time the market. I would probably say, let's do it maybe a third over the next, 9 months, and maybe sometime in the next 30 days, you go ahead and make that one third move over to a bond ETF that, is a good basket of high quality short and medium term bonds. And then 3 months later, you do another third, and 3 months later, you do, the final third. That would be one approach that's more systematic, not trying to time the market, but just saying, listen, I've been too highly concentrated towards stocks for my age and my time horizon. I don't want to try to, right that ship all on one day, especially given, what's going on right now with the markets. And so I'm going to do that over time. The other approach would be to say, I'm just going to sit on this and ride it out. And, I'm taking another look at this next year. And, but the problem with that is, could we be, lower than we are now? There's that possibility for sure, because none of us, anybody who tells you they know where the market's going to be at the start of next year is lying to you or they're misunderstood. And so we just don't know. But this obviously seems just, in the midst of kind of this free fall and this sell off that's going on just because of the uncertainty, which will get cleared up here, probably in the next 30 to 45 days, it seems like that would be a better time to do it, whether it's in the back half of this year or early next year. But I think your ultimate goal, as a starting point at least, and you could decide to be more aggressive or more conservative as you see fit, is probably a 70-30 portfolio, not 100% stocks.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I like that.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, May, if I can help you along the way, don't hesitate to reach out to me. And we appreciate you being on the program today. Lord bless you. 800-525-7000. Nearly all the lines full. We'll get to as many as we can today. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Miguel. How can I help?
Hi. I got a question. I have a house that is paid off, and I have a land that I just purchased like 6 months ago. I own $155,000. I was wondering if I refinance my house and get a 6.62% and get rid of that land, paid off the land and get rid of the 10% interest rate for 15 years. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that because, obviously you have a loan that's secured right now by the land, and then the home is on that same parcel. Is that right? Or is it two different parcels of land?
No, it's two different parcels. My house is paid off in another city, and my land is in another city that I own.
Got it.
But it's a 10% interest rate on the land.
Yeah, which is really high. And so what is the value of the home, and then what's the value of that land that you have the loan against?
The value on the land is probably like around $230,000.
Okay.
And the value on my house is $275,000.
Okay. All right. And the land, what is your plans on that long term? Just to hang on to it?
The land, that's where I'm going to retire.
Okay. All right. So you'll eventually sell the house?
Eventually sell it or rent it. Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and the mortgage, the loan on against the land is how much?
$155,000.
Okay, $155,000. And, obviously you're servicing that debt without any trouble in your budget, but it's at 10%.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we've seen a little bit of a reprieve in interest rates. And so they've come down a bit. So you could get a 15-year rate. I think they're hovering around 5.75% right now. Obviously you could not quite, but almost cut that rate in half, which would be great. How many years do you have left on that 15-year loan?
On the one on the land, I just got it. Like I got like one more, 14 more years. 14.
Okay, yeah. So if you started over the new 15-year, you wouldn't really be extending it that long. I think the long-term average on 15-year rates is around 5.25%. So at 5.75%, we're not that much higher than the long-term average. Now, we're still quite a bit off of, these very low rates that we saw, which were well below the long-term average that were in the twos. We're not anywhere near that, and I don't think we're going back to that. So I think, you know, if you can afford it now, you're certainly going to be able to afford it if you refinance it. How long do you think you'll be in this house before you move to the land?
Probably like 6 more years.
Okay, yeah. So I was going to say, as long as you're 5 to 7 years, you'll be able to enjoy the savings on that, even with the costs of putting the new loan in place. So I think that makes sense. I'm on board with that. You may want to check with our friends at Movement Mortgage, movement.com/faith. They're an incredible lender covering the entire nation, owned and operated by believers. But I like the plan overall, Miguel. I think it makes a lot of sense. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today. A wild trading day. The market starting off about 12 to 1,500 points on the Dow, then completely reversing that and going, moving up 600 points. So a 2,000 point swing on news of a potential tariff pause. That was then shut down quickly as fake news. The White House confirming there is no 90-day pause being considered. And now the market has turned back down. The Dow Jones off about 2%, off 726 points at the moment. The NASDAQ off about 1%. The S&P off about 1.4%. Still a lot of volatility in the markets. I think that's going to be the order of the day for quite some time until we figure out, are these tariffs much higher than were expected as they were announced last week? Are they a negotiating strategy? And we're going to get countries to the table to try to reset the global order in terms of global trade and tariffs? Or is this something more long term where the president is looking for that revenue? And therefore, we are going to have this one time price adjustment as we get used to these. And what will that do to global trade and the prospects of a recession? Could they be rising? And the market would certainly be indicating that, yes, investors believe the likelihood of a recession, if these aren't going anywhere anytime soon, is rising quite a bit. So something we'll continue to watch play out, that's for sure. Back to the phones to Oregon. Hi, Jane. How can we help?
Well, I don't know about this question. I'm not even sure quite how to ask it. But I remember back, that they – it's like Soros was kicked out of Hungary and Britain, both for messing with their economies with his enormous wealth. And then Bill Gates, if you ever saw the movie Pirates of Silicon Valley, you know how he got his wealth. with those huge amount of wealth, could they be messing with our economy now? And if so, how might they do that?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, I assume you're referring to his exit from active financial speculation. You know, he had his famous 1992 trade against the British pound, you know, and he's had his influence reduced in certain markets over time. He's still living here in the United States. I believe he lives in New York. He's no longer, you know, directly managing his hedge fund and is focusing more on philanthropic efforts. You know, I would say, you know, if anything, what we saw play out last week with the markets, even though it was a significant downward move, and nobody ever likes to see that, especially in such a short period of time, kind of the inner plumbing, if you will, of the financial markets here in the U.S., highest trading volume ever last Friday, the markets handled that quite well. I think it was actually and even the Treasury Secretary was commenting on that over the weekend on how pleased he was that how orderly the markets were. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, we don't like to see it going down like that. We never do. But it was done in an orderly fashion. And the system, if that was a stress test, seemed to pass it. But is there some other force kind of behind the scenes, you know, moving these markets? I don't think so. I think what you're seeing in terms of this market turmoil, whether you support the president or not, I think it's fair to say what we're seeing is a result of the fear that these tariffs, which were very well, you know, and forecasted and anticipated. The president, you know, minced no words about his intention pre-election and post-election to put these tariffs in place. I think what we're seeing is the fear that the tariffs, when they were rolled out last week, were much higher than anticipated. And so we moved from the tariffs being priced in to the fear of a global recession, if in fact they're here to stay. And I think what we're seeing right now is just the market's response to that. And I think what just happened a moment ago is another indication of that, because you remember I said we opened down 1,500 points on the Dow. As soon as this news leaked that ended up being fake news, that the President Trump was going to pause the rollout of the tariffs for 90 days while he negotiated, we immediately saw the market recover more than 2,000 points to up 700 after being down 1,500. So again, that just shows you that, you know, this market is reacting basically solely to this idea that, you know, we may be headed for a recession, given what's happening here with these tariffs, and that remains to be seen. So I certainly, you know all the inner workings of the power players on Wall Street, Jane, and I don't pretend to, but I think what we're seeing here, and there's a lot of reason to believe that, is really not at the hand of one person or a group of people moving the markets. It really is the collective market just being concerned about the prospect of recession. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, somewhat. I'm still my mind. I'm sorry. I'm 80, so my mind is on a bunch of different trails all the time, yeah. And I can't keep them organized like I used to. But yeah, that's something good to think about. I just remember. I don't remember who played that clip about Soros saying, "Well, I don't care how I make the money. I just want to make money." And yeah, as far as him being philanthropic,
well, the question is philanthropic yeah, to what? Yeah, and I don't pretend to say that it's things that would necessarily align with Christian values. But you know, he is out of the hedge fund business, at least at this point. Now, what he's doing in his free time, I have no idea. But I do think our markets are working the way they should. And I think even though it was fake news and we quickly turned back down, just the action you saw in the market even this morning on that hint that there might be a pause, I think should give us some comfort that, you know, the market is ready to respond when it gets the news that it wants about clarity on where we're going from here. And that should be reassuring. But Jane, all the best to you, and we appreciate you weighing in. Please don't ever hesitate to call if you have other thoughts. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob.
Hi there.
I'm 35, married. We actually just had our one-year anniversary last week. We don't have our finances combined. Mainly because I have a lot of debt, about $55,000 in credit card debt. I got a truck that I'm upside down on by like $30,000 almost. And then I have tax debt from 2023 and 2024 from a company that I owned that I'm still trying to pay off. And, you know, I got to a point where I couldn't even pay my bills. I was out of work for a little while. But now I'm on a salary position with a job I've never been happier at in my life. I've been here for about a month, doing work that I absolutely love. And it all came right around the time I rededicated my life to Christ. So,
wow.
You know, and I'm celebrating my 10-year sobriety from crystal meth and heroin next month. And looking back at my life, I was on a good track for a little while I was trusting in Christ. I walked away from Christ for a little while because of some things that happened at the church. And, you know, I'm back at the same church. I let those things go. I gave it to God. And now I'm drowning in this mountain of finances, and I just need some kind of direction.
Yeah. Well, James, first of all, let's just celebrate what the Lord has done in your life as you've rededicated your life to Him, and you're seeking to be a wise steward of what God has entrusted to you, not only the finances, but now you've got a new marriage. And boy, I'm just delighted to hear about your sobriety. You know, we serve a God who's in the business of restoration. And, you know, when you surrender your heart to Jesus and you get the help you need and you start walking with the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have struggles. You're experiencing those financially. But we celebrate how God is working in your life. And I love that even this glimpse of God's love for you through this work that you have. You know, He is the provider. It's not the U.S. government. It's not your employer. And yet, I believe that as workers, we resemble one of the attributes of God. He's a worker. We see that on display in creation. And then He gives us the ability to be co-laborers with Him as we take His creation, which He creates out of nothing, and we take and create out of His creation because of the latent potential that's there for wood to be fashioned into furniture and sand to be fashioned into semiconductors. And I think, you know, that's just part of the virtuous cycle God created. So we celebrate that, but we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, realizing our identity is in Him, and He is our provider, no one else. And we surrender our lives to Him, and we hold His money and resources loosely. We give it, we handle it according to a way that brings Him glory, and we see that in Scripture. And when we do, that creates this virtuous cycle. Doesn't mean we'll be free from difficulty, and you know, when we make mistakes, there are consequences to that, but we can live in victory and freedom and lean into that, and that's what you're doing. So I love that. Here's what I'd like to do for you, James. I want to give you two things. The first is I'm going to send you a copy of our 21-day devotional called Look at the Sparrows. And I'd love for you to commit the next 3 weeks just to starting your day with that. And it'll just remind you of God's goodness and His faithfulness and help you meditate on Scripture and just look at how He provides for the birds of the air through the Sermon on the Mount. I think that'll be a blessing to you. The other thing I'd like to do is connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. We're going to pay for the sessions, but I'm going to have that. If you're willing to do it with you and your wife, it doesn't mean you have to put your finances together right away, but this person is trained to be a stewardship counselor to help you put a spending plan in place, be an encouragement to you, pray with you, help you get on track with your debt, and really just help you develop a vision for how you can manage God's money in a God-honoring way, but also deal with the practical mechanics of how do we manage the flow of money in and out, how do we deal with our debt, how do we live within our means, all of those things, and get you on a system that works for you. Will you take advantage of that if I give that to you?
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. You stay on the line. We're going to get your information. I'm going to get a certified Christian financial counselor in touch with you, and we'll send you a Look at the Sparrows. May the Lord bless you, my friend. I'll be praying for you. And call back and let me know how it's going along the way. God bless you. Lewis, Debbie, Rob, I apologize we didn't get to you today. I'd love to try to get you on a future broadcast. Stay on the line. Our team will see if we can get you scheduled for that. Thanks to Sandy, Jim, Devin, and everybody here at FaithFi. Thanks for being with us today, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.